What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, March 19th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Spawn on Me's Khalif Adams.
What up?
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me. Super excited.
I am super excited to have you here because when Joey's like, Khalif's in town, and I was like, I know that name. And I was like, how? I went in my mail, and in 2015, right after we started Kinda Funny, you're like, hey, you want to be on the podcast? And I was like, well, yeah, when it's not as busy. And here we are in 2018, and I still haven't done your podcast, but you're here on mine, so that's cool.
It equals out. It turns itself around.
Khalif, you're here for GDC.
Yep.
What all are you doing?
Oh man, lots of stuff. Was in part of this really cool program called Amplifying New Voices on Sunday, which was like mentoring folks who are new in the industry, which is really fun. Today, doing this, hanging out with you.
Hell yeah.
Word. Going to be doing What's Good Games.
Never heard of them.
Tomorrow. I mean, booty butt cheeks. That's hard to know. Those folks are fantastic. And then hosting the Blackson Gaming event on Wednesday. That's hosted by Xbox.
So lots
of stuff in there, running around and actually seeing games and talking to people and hanging out. So,
do you have experience being Black and in gaming?
Once.
Oh, okay.
Once. Once it happened, it happened once. It was that whole thing of like, if you know, you get smacked in the back and your face stays that way. It was like that. But I was like,
oh, wow. Damn. All right.
I was like, how did that happen?
Khalif, what is Spawn on Me if people don't know?
Spawn on Me is a podcast that happens every week. We spotlight people of color in the industry.
Yeah.
Nobody was really doing that stuff. There was one other show that was doing that. And then we decided to take that and run with it. And it's been pretty fun. It's been a lot of fun over the past 5 years we've been doing it.
5 years.
Yeah.
That's crazy, dude. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And as I was telling you beforehand, like when Joey said you're coming in, I looked into it. I was like, oh yeah, he seems cool. I remember talking to you back in the day, putting it out there, the overwhelming response of positivity, how you've affected both obviously the best friends and then also like the best friends who are in the industry, whether they be people like Andrew or they be developers. People are so stoked. I've heard about it from everyone I talked to that they're excited you're here.
It's super humbling. I mean, we decided to do this show when no one else kind of wanted to do it. And it's been nice that folks have been especially cool with me and been really favorable towards us and giving me a whole bunch of love, which has been something funny when you think about just like where a show starts from, like kitchen table, hanging out and trying to figure out where things start. And then 5 years later, we're doing shows with like Aaron Greenberg and you and Andy and stuff like that. So it's been a really interesting ride, but it's been so much fun to be able to get that kind of love. It's been cool.
Especially.
Yeah.
So you talked about it. And this touches on a games cast I just did with Xavier not too long ago.
Yeah.
Shout out to Xavier.
He's fantastic.
He's a good guy. I like him. I say a lot of bad things about him. Xavier Woods, WWE superstar, up, up, down, down, of course, Austin Creed. go subscribe. Hit that notification bell so you know when he goes live. You talk about 5 years ago, there was nobody doing that.
Yeah.
Are we in a different spot now for people of color in video games industry?
I would say it's changing. It's morphing in some ways. Not Your Mama's Gamer was a show that was the other game show that was doing that, other podcast that was doing that. And it was fantastic to hear their side of it. But I feel now the conversation and the kind of circles are growing, right?
Yeah.
We're seeing folks be in front of camera. We're seeing folks doing some of that work. You know, you see Overwatch League with Malik Foreplay and those folks. So it's moving. It's not moving fast enough.
Sure.
You know, I want it to move faster. I would love to see a version of this kind of thing happening in that space too, where it's like POC is just getting a spot where they like can make that and it does well and people gravitate to it. But I feel like the stories are getting a little bit better too. So we're seeing some of that in terms of representation in games and people being on the front of the cover as opposed to just the side characters and stuff like that. So it's moving. It's moving kind of really small ways, but I want the sentiment to be the thing that changes too. Mm. So I'm hoping that when folks see those things, they're like, oh, that's the way, that's just another character in the game as opposed to that's a Black person in front of that cover. So what do we care about that thing?
I can't connect with that.
Yeah. So how would that sell? Black Panther says, what's up? So it's like, so it's like those kinds of deals where you see and hear those conversations come about, but you're also like, you know, the media that we do, we know, seeing just how well Black Panther did, that there is an audience and a demographic that is looking to be represented and wants, you know, money thrown at it and people to be able to take care of it and have sponsors like it and do that kind of work too. So it's in there. People just have to go find it and gravitate towards it.
Did you watch the Gamescast with Xavier where you talked a bit about this? I mean, is that how it works now that people see people like yourself doing it and then they realize they can do it, or they can put down, as Xavier was talking about, you know, like people were like, no, you're the Black guy. You can't like anime. You can't like rap. You got to do this.
Yeah.
Is that how it is right now for the younger generations coming up to see you that you're like, hey, guess what? I love this.
The beauty of it is when I was first trying to find people who look like me, they were like two. right? Sure. And I can name them. It's like Engai Kroll, yeah, who's on Game Trailers,
yeah,
and the other black guy. So it was like we had folks in that space who were there, but it wasn't something where geekdom was a thing that was so open now. And geekdom, to a certain extent, of course, there's like gatekeepers in multiple spaces, and people are like, you can't have this because this is mine. And you see that across all nerddom, right? But
yeah,
but the way that it plays out now is that folks are willing to be able to say, oh, this is the thing that I enjoy, and I enjoy all of it, and let me enjoy all of it. And sure, if I need to have my own spaces where I feel like I'm feeling more comfortable, I can always move those circles out or in. And that's important because people need to be able to find spaces that they find are kind of theirs, and also let other people in to enjoy it. So the cool thing about this actually been, and we're going to talk a little bit about this later, is Fortnite stuff, right?
Yeah,
where you see everyone from Drake to football players to sports athletes, I mean to other
Andy Cortez, you know, Andy Cortez, superstar on the other side of the wall there. He's been watching, playing.
I mean, I'm trying to help him figure out so I can learn how to build a one by one, sure, and get things done. But you see it kind of moving in all these spaces where people are letting their nerd flags fly,
yeah,
which is fantastic.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay,
so it's moving.
Okay.
We're hoping.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, hey, everybody. This is Kinda Funny Games Daily, and if you didn't already know, it was going to be a weird episode today. You can get Kinda Funny Games Daily each and every week down a variety of platforms where we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you want to watch it live, you can watch it on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Of course, if you're watching live, you have a special job. You need to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listening later on podcast services around the globe. Of course, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD, with your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names, squad up requests, and everything else under the video game sun. Housekeeping for you. Of course, Khalif's here. Spawn on Me podcast. Spawnon.me.
Word.
That's a good URL.
We tried.
All right.
It was the one I could get.
This is the kickoff of our crazy GDC week. Tomorrow, my Irish cream, Danny O'Dwyer, returns to the show. That he almost sank when he left, like a jerk. He said he didn't care about Kinda Funny and he didn't care about San Francisco, but look who comes crawling back. Then Wednesday, Christian Phillips, former head of Sony San Diego, is back. And, of course, KFGD alum. Jason Schreier pops by Thursday. And then Daniel Bloodworth is on Friday. Also worth pointing out, we're sponsored by Brooklyn Inn and Hymns today. But I'll tell you about that later in the show. For now, let's begin the show with a God of War preview. Unheard of! Unheard of. Not beginning the show with the Roper Report, ladies and gentlemen. If for some reason you stumbled into this video, usually
exclusive,
we talk about the news every day, right, of what's happening. Slow news day today, so that's helpful for us. But it would talk about the news. Today, the God of War embargo lifted. I was missed Thursday's show here on Kinda Funny Games Daily to go play God of War,
yes,
for 2.5 hours. And so I thought I would do the preview here since GameCast is going to be special this week because of GDC as well. If you're worried about spoilers, you're watching or listening later, of course, we do time codes now. You can skip ahead. However, I'm going to try not to spoil anything.
Don't spoil it, please.
But some people, like, you know, they think the threshold for spoilers varies so much.
Yeah.
So by me describing this boss fight in a little bit of detail.
Well, you know you messed up already because you said God of War. You spoiled it.
That's the title.
You've ruined it.
I know.
It's
so
over.
If you want to jump ahead and skip it all, go ahead. If you don't, no big deal. We have a whole bunch of questions people submitted, of course, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. But, Khalif.
Yes.
God of War is so fucking good.
I am so jealous. I saw that you went down to go do that, and I was like, I want to do that too.
Yeah. I got to play for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
You start from the start screen and just roll into the game and just go. And one of the things I found most impressive, of course, since I think they talked about it at E3,
yep,
they've been beating the drum that, you know, there's no loading screens, there's no cuts. This is just one ongoing story. And you're like, well, is that going to be something I noticed? Would I not have called it out?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing as you play through it, the way the story just naturally progresses and the way where it goes.
Yeah.
But from the very literal start of I walked in and it was on, you know, press start to begin. And it's like Kratos around a tree. You hit start and that's the first scene of the game. And you are
spoilers,
just off onto
Kratos,
it.
Kratos around a tree. Spoiler.
There's a lot of, the trees are important, it turns out. But I won't tell you how in this story.
Are they maples?
We didn't get into that kind of detail. We weren't tapping them for anything else.
That was the thing I was hoping to hear.
There was a gold handprint on it. I'll tell you that.
All right,
there you go. Something else going on. This game beautiful?
Yes.
Fun?
Yeah.
I of course saw the gameplay demos. I've been behind closed doors with it before.
Sure.
But when in the first time I got the axe and threw the axe, yeah. and then it's like, now hold triangle to bring it back. And it comes and you grab it. It was like, oh my God, give me 30 more hours of this.
Oh man. Because
this is perfect. It's Mjolnir with an edge, and you're just chopping yeah. things down and screwing stuff up. It's awesome. So to throw it around and feel like Thor, have it be the yeah. best Thor game there's ever been, let alone the fact that you always have the shield on your arms, so you yeah. throw it up like Cap and do that. Ugh, it was so good.
I'm super jealous because I know that it's one of those things that when you go to an event like that,
yeah.
that you have kind of a structure and you're like, all right, so we're going to let you do this and we're going to do that.
Yeah.
But then when you get behind the sticks, it changes a lot. Cause yeah. then you get to mess around with the edges of things yep. and play around with stuff.
And that was, you know, the first thing I'm trying to do is, you know, yeah. I'm thinking about where the trophies are going to be. So I'm, you right. know, the kid runs off that direction. I'm going down this thing and let's yeah. find this. And I'm smashing open new crates and stuff. Cause yeah. they're obviously there. Different things inside with the same idea of, you know, if you get three of these, you're going to get more health. If you get three of these, more, not magic, rage, your Spartan rage is going to be there. Cause that's still something you're building up to make you more and more powerful.
Okay.
I have notes. I took little notes. Oh, just to, you know, I
that's what you know got there. Real. You have notes.
You know, I just wanted to be there. I was impressed with the gameplay alone because okay. it was fun. It feels different. And I know that's the big thing getting sure. kicked around today, of course, right? No jump button. Everybody's freaking out that there's no jump button. It doesn't need a jump button. Okay. It's a different kind of Kratos. I don't think the actions as different as some people are making it out to be.
Mm.
The camera very much anchored to your back, you know what I mean? Which yeah. is not normal of God of War. It is tight, and there's a question coming up where somebody asks about it in terms of, did it make it feel rigid? It didn't feel rigid, but it did take getting used to.
Okay.
But it's also the fact that I was on a 70-inch TV, and it's like that far away from yeah. me, where I'm like, I'm a little too close, but I'm yeah. trying to get back as far as
your
I could.
Field of vision is like
exactly.
this big. Yeah.
But, you know, they moved combat up to R1 and R2. So okay. weak attack, strong attack on both those.
Yeah.
And, you know, R2 is knocking people up in the air where you're juggling them a bit more. You're not getting up in the air in the same way, but it felt like God of War there.
Yeah.
There wasn't the combo thing popping on screen to tell me how many combos I have, but okay. it feels like the traditional combo system of it. A little slower, a little heavier, but yeah. I think that's what they're going for with who Kratos is now. He is an older Kratos, and
this
he is feeling
of,
that.
It's kind of like more visceral experience because it's more up close and
yeah,
you're kind of dealing,
yeah. And I mean that is pretty obvious throughout this yeah. game. You know, I think there's a few things going around of going into that where you go in and you stun. If you stun an enemy, right, you can run in and click one. I think it's one stick. Yeah, one stick. You click in and you do like a tear. Like,
okay,
and so you're tearing people in half and you're doing that. That was when it was like, oh right, that's God of War. I remember that.
Okay.
But what I want to say and dance around a bit and not give away super specifics.
Yeah.
But the first real boss fight, like, you know, your first character you meet that you have to fight to sure. the death, whatever, is the best superhero fight I've ever played in a video game.
Really?
Where it is like, it feels like I could see this being Superman versus Shazam or whoever you want to put in there, of us using super ability powers and slamming each other into walls
yeah.
and through mountains, and rocks are falling and over the top, like Kratos got him pinned and he's against this giant stone pillar, like
yeah.
and I mean, not even stone, I guess, like this giant rock formation
sure.
and hits out the edge and slams it down on top of him, and you're just like, wow, and people are getting thrown through buildings and this and that, and it's like,
oh,
it
man.
Feels so good, but it is also so not I was trying to explain this to Jen when I was talking to her about it.
Yeah.
It's not grotesque. It's not gory like God of War 3 was. I always right. think of, remember when he like rips off, I think it's Hercules'
head yeah.
and the skin split. It's not like that, but it's like we're up close and personal in a way I've never seen Kratos really do it. And and there's a part in this fight where he gets the guy he's fighting in like a rear naked choke.
Huh.
And it was like, wow, I can't. And granted, I'm not like the aficionado of God of War.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I took me a while. I always hated Kratos' character. No depth, just yells
I'm
everything.
I'm angry.
Not my problem here. This story looks awesome. I love his characterization. I love his relationship with the son.
Sure.
I can't wait to see where this all goes. But I'm watching this and I'm like, I don't remember ever seeing something this ground and pound from Kratos. I never saw something that felt this real in this moment.
Because
it's over the top elsewhere, and the way we're pounding and the way this boss is healing and talking shit and doing all these different things. But to get here and actually get him into this like very intimate chokehold, it reminded me a lot of, spoilers for Tomb Raider movie, in the Tomb Raider movie when she kills the first guy. And it's a similar thing where she like chokes him out and then she lays there and is like, oh my God, I just killed this dude.
It kind of sounds like from the way that you're describing it, it feels like it's, and this is a weird word to add to a God of War game, but a more intimate kind of in both the way they're kind of trying to tell the story between he and his son, and also in the combat itself of like, you're super close camera wise.
Yeah.
You have these moments where you're super close up against an enemy and bosses and things like that.
Yeah.
And it feels like that is also grounding both his age and the way that you're talking about the kind of overarching story too.
Right. It's more of a personal affair, which is obviously what they've been driving at from the get-go with this story between him.
Right.
But it, you know, that parlays so well into, I think, the way they use combat. The combat reminds me in certain sections a lot of Hellblade, where up close and personal, but there's somebody behind you, right? But since the camera's not spun out, I don't know that till they're almost on me.
Okay.
Which is why it was an interesting use of the son, who calls out, on your left, behind you. Like, it is like...
So the son is like calling out markers.
Yeah, he's almost like that radial wheel of seeing something behind you or in front of you, right? And then you know to turn around and do this and chain together your tags and really fuck these guys up.
Does the son get into the combat too, besides just doing that?
There's a few points where... I think he did it on his own, but you for sure have a set number of arrows that you can use from him that he'll eventually reload. But they're more. It was more a big part of the boss fight, well, not a boss fight, but like one of those like giants, you know, like the that we've already seen from E3 demos. Like our first fight with him, it was like, all right, you distract him, and then I make this move. But I wasn't using it effectively at all. Like I was very much like,
I don't need you. I'm
the
Kratos.
The tutorial popped, and I was like, all right. And then I was just like spamming square, and he'd be out, and I was like, all right. And then I was getting my butt whipped because I'm up there as Kratos trying to chop this giant dude in his leg or whatever, and he's kicking me around, slamming.
Yeah.
And then it was that moment of like when you have like, you're almost dead, and you're like, fuck. And I was like, wait, throw the axe. And I'm like, fuck, I should have been doing this the whole time. Yeah. So I die, come back, throw the hammer, and totally school this guy.
But it feels good in that
respect.
It feels
awesome. Yeah. Like, that's the thing. It feels awesome. And let's get into some questions.
Okay.
Because some of them are tipping into the same stuff I want to get to. All right. Here we go. Sinaitho. Spelled it out for me. You know, like hyphenated it there. Sinaitho. We're going to say it real
Sinaitho.
Quick. Says, what's up, Kinda Funny crew? Of course, he or she wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can. Says, what's up, Kinda Funny crew? Hope all is well. Andrea had mentioned that Greg, like her, had a chance to play the new God of War and would be able to talk about it on Monday. But the new gameplay was leaked this past weekend. One thing that caught my eye was the button mapping. More precisely, the light and heavy attack button are on the shoulder and trigger buttons. This choice seems a little odd to me, but then again, I didn't get to play through it. The new footage of the game looks great, and this game is still a day one buy for me. But now I'm really interested in getting your opinion on how the button layout feels. Keep up the good work. You guys make the drive home more tolerable. P.S. It was cool meeting Greg and Andy at PSX. It was cool meeting you too.
Word.
I thought that it was weird to jump in and be like, oh, it's not on the face buttons.
Right.
And then be like, wow, I feel like I'm only really using the face button triangle to recall the axe once I've thrown it, and then circle to climb over things. Again, you're not jumping, but like if you want to like, you know.
Mantle over stuff.
Exactly, exactly. So at first that was weird.
Yeah.
But then by the end it was totally normal.
I mean, that could be a thing too, that since we don't know, you only played what, two or three hours?
Two and a half.
That could be stuff that's in there that just like
great point
brings that out.
But I liked the simplicity of it when it was there. You know what I mean? Like it was like, oh, okay. I don't feel like I'm getting it. I don't feel like it's lacking the God of War combat. Wasn't ready for the triggers, but then at one point I went in and looked at changing the controls, but I forget why. It was something over here. I think to throw the axe, you hold R1 to go into like range mode and then throw it.
Yeah.
I think hold R1 or I'm sorry, L1 and then hit R1 or R2. And I kept
it's mimicking the pull and push, push and pull.
Yeah, and I think what I kept doing too was going to L2, like aim down sights, and I was like, and it was one of those, I'm gonna go change it, but to change that, it was gonna change the strikes, and it was like, I'm already in too deep on the strikes. I'll just learn to live with it there.
Right.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. I don't think you have to worry about it.
Yeah,
like, yeah. In terms of,
it's one of those things too where I think that once you've kind of gotten out of the mode initially of like I'm gonna be using all the old school button mappings from the first couple of games, then it will feel fine.
Interesting, we talk about old school stuff. DeBears33 writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, I see you're going to talk about God of War on the show today. So my question is, as someone who has never played a God of War game, is this a good starting point? The changes this game makes compared to the other God of War games appeals to me more than the others. I would love to know your thoughts after getting some hands-on time with the game. Thanks. Totally. I totally think you can dive into here.
Okay.
Because it is... what's interesting, and I don't think this is spoilery.
Sure.
To set the scene is that the son doesn't know Kratos has been the God of War.
Okay.
Because when stuff starts happening in the game, they're walking and he's like, why are these people interested? We're nobodies. He says that. Like, we're nothing. Yeah. We're nobody. Why would they care about us? And for that 2.5 hours, there's one very poignant section, I think, where Kratos is wrestling with what's happening and does the whole thing of like, It's been so many years. How did they find me? How do they know who I am? That's it.
Yeah.
For the 2.5 hours. Maybe later on we get into more of like his past really haunting him.
Sure.
But there's a few references here and there. It's not beating you over the head of like, well, of course you remember in Chains of Olympus when this happened, or you remember when his brother popped up or something. No, it's not that at all. And I think that benefits the story of like, you know, I think even if you're a casual video game fan,
sure,
you know God of War.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Kratos and the ashes of his people. Maybe that's too much, probably.
But
you know that he fought the gods.
Right.
You know what I mean? And clearly won and got away from them. And now he has to deal with these Norse gods popping up and, you know, Odin and stuff. There's mention of Odin in this. There's Odin ravens that are following you that are like collectibles that you see and you attack. And it's like, all right, cool. You got one of 33 or whatever the hell
makes
it is.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I wonder though for dub airs, if this is the first game he or she's going to jump into, if this would make them want to go back and check out the older stuff.
Interesting.
That's an interesting thing, because I'm like, it's a very different game.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, mechanically and also just like,
but I think it's
visually.
What the series needed, right?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that, you know, it's well-worn territory for any fan of mine of like, I hated Kratos, just, Calliope! And just yelling nonstop and having no range. And here already, in just 2.5 hours, he has range.
Yeah.
I feel sympathetic for him at times.
Yeah.
I see him trying to quell his anger. I see him trying to teach his son. That's awesome. And then what's one of the most important things, I think, for me finishing this is that just a small breadcrumb or two that they gave of like, man, I'm really interested in the story.
Yeah.
Why did this happen? Why did it happen the way it happened? He makes a reference to something they see out there and it's like, oh, okay. Like, why would that? And so I want to get back to it for the story, which I've never said about God of War before.
Yeah, sure. I've never been one of those like, oh, this is a really intricate story.
I can't wait to see how he disembowels Zeus this time around.
How angry can he get?
Yeah, exactly. it was Lucid Dream. Shout out to him who says, however, Kratos' movement during combat and the use of the over-the-shoulder fixed camera during the action give the game a rigid look when compared to the others, featuring zoom back cameras and looser-looking movement. How did it feel and how does it compare?
No.
Definitely feels more rigid, more locked. Like I said, it felt tight, but I think that claustrophobic, intimate, you're in this scene very much is what they want you to feel. And even the environments where I was fighting people, with the exception of like, I think the giant like dude with the pillar thing I was fighting at one point, they felt like tighter, smaller environments. It wasn't that I was fighting hundreds of dudes. It was very much, I think at the most I had 6 or 7, like
that's still a lot in that
screen.
In that amount of space.
And that's the thing of like when you swing the camera, I'm only seeing 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Like I'm getting call outs from my son that they're shooting arrows, or I need to go be part of that or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I also wonder if that gives them the ability to maybe throw a curve in there somewhere down the line of like, okay, so you've been playing from this angle all this time. Let's throw something in it to harken back and do
you
it.
You have to imagine, because that's what they've always done. They've been great with God of War, Sony Santa Monica, of taking you, giving you something you think you know, and then no, you were riding on the side of this monster, and now you got to fight everything else there.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see. I can't wait to get more and more into it.
Yeah, it's going
to
be good.
JBR, frequent contributor to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, says, hey, Greg, and welcome, Khalif.
What up?
Greg, after playing God of War for more than 2 hours, what is the big takeaway that we as fans should be looking at or taking into consideration when playing this game this April?
That's a big question.
It is a big question, right? And the thing I take away from it is there's many takeaways.
Yep.
It is how beautiful the game is. It just runs. I'm playing on a pro. I'm playing on a giant 4K TV, I assume. It's stunning. It was awesome. It ran so well. It kept me on my toes, both in terms of the action I was doing. Like, I didn't get to, in that 2.5 hours, any point where I was like, all right, cool, this is by the numbers. Like, every time I threw that axe, it was awesome.
Yeah.
And the amount of times I did run after something and go to attack him with the axe and like punch him, like, oh, fuck, I need the axe, and call the axe back, forget that you put it somewhere.
Oh.
On top of that, the puzzles on there of like, you know, there are the traditional chests like I was talking about earlier. Then there's like the special chests that have different symbols on them, 3 symbols.
Okay.
And then in that environment, you have to find those 3 symbols and hit them with the axe to set the switch.
Okay.
And then once that happens, that pops. So it's like a fun, you know, let's hide and seek moment. Then on top of that, there were actual puzzle elements of like, cool, I got my son up there and he's over there, but I need to crank this wheel to get, how do I freeze it using, because like the axe has a freeze property too.
Sure.
So you can freeze things in place to then use it, how to manipulate that.
Yeah.
There was a bunch of interesting stuff like that where I was okay, cool, and they kept evolving and kept changing, and that was like what I want out of that game.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear that, because those are things of like when you have a beat 'em up,
Yeah.
In a sense, you always kind of have to worry about how rote is this going to be
right.
by the time I get into hour three.
Yeah,
or exactly. hour four. And you're like, I just did this. Are there any new moves? But I mean, you won't get that in the beginning.
And that was the thing of like, I had XP points to go in and upgrade Kratos and get new move sets and use the axe or the shield in different ways. And so there is going to be that same RPG light thing there is in every game, right? Of like, build it out. And I'm sure by the end you'll have everything. It'll be awesome. But on top of that, you know, I ran into Brock, who's like this blacksmith.
Yeah.
And like, really great scene introducing him, really cool. He's cursing, he's totally like fucking funny and great, but he's the guy who will make new equipment for you.
Okay.
And so like one of the things, you know, early on there I got to choose which new piece of armor I wanted to make.
Yeah.
And they both looked different cosmetically and they had different properties to them, and so it was that, oh man, well this one gives me better defense but that one looks cooler. And like to get deeper and deeper into that of really pimping out Kratos and having him these awesome weird outfits by the end, I'm like, this is totally rad.
Does it feel like there's any, because I know a lot of folks when they were talking about the game specifically, they were like the move from the kind of Greek mythology to the more Nordic stuff. Does that feel like it adds anything specifically to the game in a way that makes it different in a way that you would actually care about? Or does it feel like it's just another flip on the mythology?
From what I understand, I'm way more interested in the Nordic way than I was in the Greek way because of the implementation.
Okay.
Because of that, the boss fight with the stranger is all he is.
Yeah.
He pops up and it is like, wait, Kratos is like, how do they know me? And he's like, oh, I thought you'd be bigger. And it's like, oh, he's referencing that he does know the legend of Kratos. And then he mentions, and I don't think this is spoilers, like I said, but I understand how everybody feels. This is different for everybody. But he does say like, you know, I don't know why Odin sent me or something. This, I don't know why Odin sent me to look into. And it's like, oh, so Odin's aware that I'm here. And it very much is them bringing the fight to Kratos in a way of like, why? And that's what I was talking about earlier, of like these story breadcrumbs of like, why now? And like this happened, but I understand. I can piece together.
Yeah.
This is happening because that happened, but why did that happen? I want to know. I want to play through the game to get to that thing. Because the story of the game from the start here, and I don't think it's spoilers, but everybody's different.
Sure.
Is the fact that, you know, you're going to the top of the mountain here. Like, you're just trying to get to the top of this mountain for a reason.
Yeah.
And so, like, you see the mountain, and it's very Celeste. You start, and you're walking, and, like, that's why you're off on this quest. And as you get higher, you look out, and you see some things. You're like, why? Oh, okay, why is that happening now? And blah, blah, blah. Like, I want to get up that mountain to figure out what the hell's going on and have a little bit more about it.
It's going to be so good. It's going to be so good.
Mikhail writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, and says, hi, Greg, and co-host. I really hate the quote, we have moved on to better things attitude that surrounds God of War as new footage is coming out of the preview event. I understand and appreciate the need for the franchise and especially the character of Kratos to evolve. I also begrudgingly recognize the PS2 era gameplay mostly just doesn't cut it these days for large audiences. But from what I see, the new God of War seems to be more like a regression of the series. Kratos can't jump or climb. The kid doesn't seem to fulfill any in-game purpose aside from being just a narrative crutch. Worst of all, the attack animations look choppy, as if I'm missing half the frames, and enemies just stand there motionless if you turn your back on them. I'm not seeing crowd control or any semblance of a system that rewards deliberate play as opposed to button mashing. It looks like Rise, just with fewer button prompts.
First of all, that kid has a name. I don't know what it is, but I know he has a name.
Yeah, it's Ataris, I think. Yeah.
Terrence?
Which kid are we talking about? We're talking about the kid in Kratos' kid? I understand that the vision for this reboot is completely different, but I can't help but feel like we've lost something along the way. It feels to me like AAA developers keep removing layers of gameplay depth year after year, with only a few exceptions like Horizon or Breath of the Wild. I would really like to see more studios, not just Platinum Games, to actually try to innovate the character action genre. In that regard, the new God of War looks to me as a missed opportunity. And if Devil May Cry 5 doesn't deliver, the genre will be as good as dead.
Damn.
Thanks, and keep up the good work, Mikhail.
Shout out to Mikhail, though. But
yeah.
Damn.
It's a fiery indictment of this entire game you haven't played.
So much hot sauce on this game.
What I'm saying is, you think the animations look choppy. They did not look choppy playing it.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it could be internet thing, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
compressed, it's in a video. I don't know what you're looking at, where you're looking at.
Sure.
Playing it, the game is super smooth. And moving from throwing the axe to punching to using my to parrying with the shield to attack to tearing people in half to entering rage mode and just fucking running wreck shop over everybody and slamming on the ground. And like, I'm not worried about the gameplay. Does it feel different than God of War before? Of course it does, but I don't feel it's a regression. I do think it's an evolution.
Yeah.
I do think it's evolving with the story and the like, hey, this is who Kratos is now. And it's not that he's weak, but you know, in battle and a few other places in the game, they talk a little bit about like, oh man, like, am I losing a step, so to speak?
Right, 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 right.
And there is an interesting case to be made there. How long, with the story, how long has it been since he fought? How long has it been since he's been the god of war?
Really? Yeah, there are reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are reasons. And I would always ask folks who have this kind of stance on games that have moved on in that way.
Yeah.
If you would have made the game in the way that you wanted to, or the previous games that they were there, would you still like it in the same way that you would now?
Yeah.
And most people would say no.
Yeah.
Most people are like, nah, not really. It's kind of the old stuff that I already played.
And that's the thing is, I feel like with games, they need to evolve, right? And I feel like that's what's been, to an extent, has held back Gears and Halo.
Right.
In the way that those games feel very much like, and granted, they're prettier, they run better, all that stuff. Sure. There's more content. They feel and run and play like they did before,
right,
with notable exceptions. But it is that same thing where it's like, I was, you know, give a hats off to Naughty Dog for, hey, we're going to reinvent ourselves and we're going to do something. The God of War that you played on PS2, that you played on PS3, do you need it again?
You
on
probably don't want that.
Not to mention the collections are out there, and you could get these games somewhere else and get them that way.
Right.
I was blown away. I thought God of War was awesome. It definitely checked all the boxes I want out of that franchise, what I've been asking for out of Kratos. And like I said, it can't. And you, the kid is just a narrative crutch. You can't have it both ways on this.
Yeah.
Where some kids like, oh, fuck, it's just a giant escort mission. And other people are like, oh, he does nothing. Well, he's got it. There's a middle ground there where it is.
Yeah, and you got to play it first.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to play it first. No one knows, really.
From what I played, I liked the use of the kid. Yeah. I didn't find him annoying. I liked seeing Kratos have to talk to him and how he talks to him and how he protects him and how he tries to make him a man or how he's, you know, because he's not even doing it in like the macho way. Like, you got to survive out here in the wild.
Right,
like,
right,
this
right.
is what our world is.
Yeah.
Seeing all that, the reference the kid makes to himself, I'm like, that backstory is going to be
I'm
interesting.
I'm sure in the way that you saw Ellie get her shine in Last of Us, I'm sure Mitchell will get his will get his love in the game, too.
Atris, maybe. Atris? I'm sure I'm writing it down.
I don't remember. Somebody from Sony Santa Monica tweet at me.
A-T-R-E-U-S. I don't know how you pronounce that. Atris. Atris.
Mitchell. I'll say it the same way that they talk about the new Black Ops game. Atris.
So that's my thoughts. Of course, it's all over the internet right now. You can go read a ton of other people. I'm trying not to spoil stuff for you. I hope they didn't either. That fucking fight, though. That superhero fight. God damn, I'm excited. And it's like, I want, what I was saying is I want Nick to play. I just want Nick commentary as he plays through that.
Really?
He will be get some! Because Nick's like a weird old UFC man. Might as well shout out to, of course, over on youtube.com/whatsgoodgames. Andrea has interviews up with Corey Barlog and Jeet over from Sony Santa Monica about God of War. So check it out. Kevin, now let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Two items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
We're starting GDC week slow. Everybody's here in San Francisco. Not much game news happening, but I digress. IGN had two stories for you that I think you need to know about. Number one, Fortnite on iOS is already killing it, even though you have to be invited to play it. IGN reports, last week, Fortnite released on mobile, sending out invites to players who signed up on iOS. Within 24 hours of release, the game had topped the iOS charts in 47 countries. The title, which is still only available by invite only, is currently only available on iOS, although an Android release will follow. The data comes from Sensor Tower and shows that Fortnite is sitting in the top 10 in 58 countries. The site also reports that the release of the Fortnite app had a positive effect on ratings for other games in the genre, with Chinese developer NetEase's Battle Royale titles Knives Out and Rules of Survival enjoying a boost in the charts, going from number 182 to number 138 and number 14 and number 5, respectively.
My God.
You play a lot of Fortnite.
Fortnite is my jam. Fortnite is unreasonable at this point. I'm playing so much of it now that I was telling you before we started, I was like, I feel bad I haven't played in 4 days.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, one, I'm going to suck when I go back. And two, I feel like I need to be in that space so that I'm still good.
Sure. Yeah. You got to keep the tool sharp. Yeah.
But like, Fortnite is just killing it right now.
It's been incredible.
I've never seen this.
Wednesday night, I jumped in to play more because I haven't played it in a while. I was telling you, like, the building's totally different from when I first started. But we're getting ready to do party modes this week. So Andy was like, everybody brush up. So I played Wednesday night and it was like, oh, whoa, this is actually really fun. And so I was kind of surprised myself to be back, you know, yesterday with some time to kill. And it was like, got like 45 to an hour before I'm going to do dinner. Let's jump in. Played a whole bunch of matches, got kills, which is like, PUBG had totally beaten me into submission of like, no, Greg, you're bad at third person shooters. Like, you can't, you're not, you don't kill people. And like, Fortnite, I was getting kills and I got in the top 4 and I was like, fuck, I'm having more fun here than I was with PUBG. Not that I'm just, this doesn't have to be a this or that.
It's different.
But I was very much like, they're very similar games. And they are in concept, but playing it, I was like, oh, I like this way more.
Totally.
To the point that I tweeted about it, and then my friend Matt hit me up from Smosh Games. I was like, and gave me the invite to the iOS.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, thanks. I'll play this eventually. Installed it. Did a few more matches. All right, great. Went from the PlayStation 4 to the kitchen.
Yeah.
Started cooking. And I was like, oh, well, this is going to take 20 minutes. I'll jump on the phone. Jumped on the phone, and my God.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
I can't believe how well it runs on the phone. And I was playing other iOS players, so it wasn't like I was getting destroyed or anything. But it runs better than PUBG does on the Xbox One, which was I didn't expect. And I know I tweeted out about it, and like it was a mix of, yeah, I'm glad you're enjoying it, or I think it's great too. And then okay, Greg, I'm sure. And then a whole bunch of other people, it needs to be 60 frames per second. I'm like, motherfucker, it's fun. It's great. It works. You know what I mean? Like, I was blown away.
I mean, it's one of those things that when you talk about Epic right now, they are doing some stuff in this space that I have not seen before. Like, I've never seen a company be this fast, this nimble, and get things right.
Yeah.
Like, mobile is a space that I don't even try to touch because I'm like, virtual sticks are terrible and they're bad. In this game, it feels okay.
Yeah.
I do want Bluetooth support. Everyone wants that.
This is not the definitive version.
Right.
But it was, all right, cool.
Even out of the box, it feels really good.
And then before bed, I was like, you know, Jen was brushing her teeth. I'm like, yeah, why not? Yeah. And I did them, and I was like, wow, this is, it's not, I'm not even tricking myself and be like, oh, it's all right. No, it's like, this is fun. And I can see, and I talk about it. Coming back from DICE, I ran into our friends, Layer Media.
Yeah.
And they were sitting there in the airport, and I walked over, and they all looked like they were playing PUBG in their phone. I'm like, what are you playing? They're like, oh, PUBG. I'm like, that's out? Did you get in the Chinese store? No, it's one of the knockoffs. I was like, oh. And the fact they were playing that, and it looked fine, it looked good, but the fact that this is the real thing, and your progression counts, and it's literally seamless of transferring over. And I bought a skin yesterday, and there it was, and I was all skin. It's just like, good Lord.
It's like one of those things where I'm like, I don't know where the ceiling is yet.
Yeah.
And that's rare.
The fact that it's been such a slow burn.
Yeah.
Right? Where it was, we were talking about this before we came on. Like, I remember when Cliffy B put up that trailer. Like, all right. And then, all right, it finally popped back up at E3 Judges Week 2 years ago. Okay. Mm-hmm. They put it out. It's not really for me. Then they we're copying, unabashedly copying PUBG. Yes, and you're like, that's a funny news story. Okay.
Right.
And then here we are. And it's like, well, Drake's playing and everybody taking loves it. And it's all going on. World. And this is happening. Yeah. Roseanne Barr's got a bunch of wins.
She has more wins than I do. That makes me sad. But it's dope. Roseanne, get your wins.
Why is it catching fire now?
I mean, I think it is that very specific difference between just aesthetically, it feels lighter and it feels like a game that is more welcoming to folks. It's like you can do all the funky things of like adding these skins and make you customize it in a way that makes you feel different, even though you're not, because everybody else bought the same skins that week. But the way that you play that game is so different, and it gives you this ability to feel like even if you didn't win, you had fun.
Yeah.
You're stressed out in different ways when you play Fortnite as opposed to PUBG. And you're just like, okay, I got shot. Now what do I do? As opposed to I got shot, I'm dead. I don't know where I got shot from.
Yeah.
And it's different. So it's like those small little tweaks to that game make it very, very different.
For me, and I mean, again, I'm first blush here, so first, I don't know, 30 matches.
Yeah.
Like, it is crazy how fast it is. And I don't mean just the gameplay. I mean the fact of, cool, I could jump in right now and I'll be playing in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And then when I get killed, jump back out and jump back in. And it's like, PUBG's fast like that to an extent, but not as fast. Like, there are longer loads on my Xbox One X. And it does feel like, cool, I'm committing to this more than here. It's poppy and it's colorful and it is chewing gum. And I put it in and I spit it out. And maybe I'll play for a few hours. Maybe I play for one match and move on with my life.
Yeah, it is very get in, get out. And getting
free
get
play
out
thing's helping, I'm sure, obviously.
I mean, it's one of I just don't know how at this point, because I still see folks who are just like, I don't know if, I mean, I get it. If it's not your kind of game, it's not your kind of game. That's fine. But I feel like at least try it, because it's doing so many things really, really well.
Yeah.
And it's doing them in different areas well, besides the way that usually games come out and do this kind of thing. So just getting in is a thing where you're just like, all right, fine. I'm going to get in, get my first matches in, maybe get your first kill in. And the beauty of it is, like, once you got into a squad, and if you're dead, you can be dead for like half the game. If your squad wins, it is a different feeling, even when you play PUBG and you get that win. Because it is a very light and airy kind of thing where people are like, oh, okay, I'm having fun with this. And you're like, not talking that much shit. When you have your emotes, you just do that with that. You'll dance on somebody as opposed to just do whatever it is that you're doing in PUBG now. But yeah, it's changed the game in a lot of ways.
How much longer do you think you'll play it? How long do you stick with games?
Games like this, it depends on my actual like arc of how I'm feeling, if I'm doing well.
Yeah.
And this game is going to stay with me, because even when I die or I don't do well, I don't get mad at the game. I get mad at myself.
Sure.
I'm like, oh,
should have dropped the wall faster.
Yeah, I'm like, I should have dropped the wall. Or, oh, my hands don't work or that kind of stuff. I'm just like, oh, those are the reasons why. It's not because the game is like screwing me over.
Yeah.
And that doesn't feel like that. And if it does, I can get right back in. So, yeah, the time effort part there is like really important.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then number two on the Roper Report, some massive devs have founded a new studio, also via IGN here. Ex-Ubisoft massive employees have formed a new studio and announced its first project, a multiplayer game based on a so far mysterious cult classic IP. Shark Mob's website states that it's currently working on an unannounced project with an undisclosed publisher. While the statement says that the studio is limited in what it can share, the title is being developed using the Unreal Engine and will be a multi-platform project described as action-packed with a probable M rating.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, Friday the 13th off the table. But we got a cult classic IP, M rating, multiplayer. Somebody probably wants to cash in on Friday the 13th.
Mm.
Could it be a Freddy Krueger game?
Could be a I hope not.
Mike Myers game.
Do we want? I mean, after
Night of Living Dead,
that would be interesting. But no, because
not enough zombie games.
Not enough zombie. Yeah, we need another zombie game. I don't want them to touch any of that stuff, though. Yeah. I would hope not, because I don't know where you go. But also, they said that about Friday the 13th too, and I love that game.
It. Damn right you did.
I love that.
God
game.
Damn right.
Shout
you
out
did.
To Illphonic.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know where you go. I don't know what the new version of that would wind up being.
If yeah, you, exactly. If yeah, that that's been the biggest call out for how do you do something.
Freddy, like you get stabbed in real life.
Yeah.
you get stabbed in real life. They have
you
like
die
a
in the game,
of,
the game eats your save.
Yeah, ooh, I would be okay with that.
No, you wouldn't. You're a liar. Nobody would be okay with that. Shout out to Shark Mob. Congratulations. Khalif.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what this cult classic IP is.
I am.
But it's still so far away. If I wanted to know what was coming to the digital mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
Oh my God, the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah.
Bam.
Good to be back with you, Kev. Out today, Sea of Thieves day one patch is up, and you might not be able to get to Sea of Thieves yet, but the patch is out. And what's cute about it is it's not a patch for the game, it's an eye patch you can buy with a one on it.
That was cheeky.
It's pretty cute.
That was cheeky.
That's setting the stage for, I think, what Sea of Thieves is all about.
It gave me the ability to use the word cheeky.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, you cheeky monkey. Sea of Thieves day one patch is just an eye patch with a one on it. Go get it in the Sea of Thieves store for one piece of gold. I have no idea how that translates to Sea of Thieves money. And then Yakuza 6, the Song of Life demo, is back on the PlayStation 4 after, I think, mistakenly giving away the game. Now,
dun, dun, dun.
It's time for Reader Mail. This is brought to you by Brooklinen and Hims. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you about Brooklinen.com. They give you sheets and comforters. Now, when I say give you, I mean you give them money, and then they give you the sheets and the comforters. I've talked about it before on the show. You've seen them on Instagram.com/GameOverGreggy. Go look at any of the cute porty photos I've been putting up lately. He's been sprawled out on this thing. What I love about the Brooklinen stuff is, first off, they feel real good. You need new sheets. And then the fact when you go there to order, you can click on the buttons and see the different color combinations put together, which is how I ordered this without the help of my wife.
Oh.
You spend a third of your life in the sheets. Why not make sure you have better sheets? You know what I mean? Start getting better sleep with the best sheets. Brooklinen.com, the best, most comfortable sheets. No big markup. Upgrade your nightly routine and help feel more well-rested every day. Most bedding is marked up as much as 300%, but Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world. You can mix and match to complement any decor. This is luxury bedding, underpriced. You have to try these sheets today. Again, I enjoy this. This is not a lie.
Damn.
I wouldn't lie to you about sheets.
Do you have like a thread count thing?
I don't know. I'm sure they have that.
Yeah,
but I'm
sure.
Greg Miller. I'm like, they're blue. Oh, they feel good. All right, going to bed. My Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. And you can get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code GamesDaily at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all the sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code GamesDaily at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com. Promo code GamesDaily. Brooklinen, these are the best sheets ever.
Goddamn.
That is a
goddamn.
That is an awesome tagline for a brand. You know what I mean? That's confident right there.
Yeah, seriously.
We named our show Kinda Funny because we're like, ugh, let's not oversell what we're going to give them.
Maybe good. Kind of funny.
Brooklyn is like, these are the best sheets you're ever going to have. We're also brought to you by Hims. Hims is a bunch of products that'll help you grow your hair back and clean up your life. Did you know that 66% of men lose their hair by age 35? This isn't a choice. This just happened.
This was the Lord.
Okay. Khalif rubbing his head right now.
I'm like, please, Hims, help me.
See, well, here's the thing. Thing is, when you start to notice hair loss, it's too late.
It's true.
It's easier to keep the hair that you have than to replace it with the hair you've lost. How do you feel? How will you feel a year from now? Is it business usual up there? So I ask you, do you want a bald spot to pop up, or do you want to do something first? The solution is 4hims.com. Nick and Andy are both using this stuff right now, of course.
Oh.
It's cool because Nick was telling me about it today. You go on there, you pick your products, yeah. You send in photos of your hairline, they come back and give you recommendations. If you need to do the medical stuff, the doctor helps you out with all the stuff.
That's badass.
Yeah. 4hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. Well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. Like I said, Nick and Andy have both signed up and are waiting for their stuff, but they like that first blush stuff.
Yeah.
So right now, you can order. My listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. The website has the full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. That's FORHIMS.com/gamesdaily. 4hims.com.
I might have to do that because if this grows out, it's a really bad fire tuck look and it's not sexy. That shit is not dope.
Well, now you know how to do it. 4hims.com/gamesdaily. Now, let's jump in to some reader mail. Here we go. Apple Silence writes in and addresses it to Danny, forgetting that you're here today, but says, hey, Greg,
cool,
and Danny.
Apple.
Yeah, you know what? Apple Silence? Come on. Anyways, what games are you looking forward to in 2018? I hope you're having a beautiful day and good luck in the future. Right now,
lovely
2017. Yeah. I made the case of, I think it was the best year for gaming.
Yeah.
Stuff was just amazing, not to mention the big titles, but then week to week, there was just awesome games every week.
Yeah.
2018 is pretty fucking amazing so far too.
Yeah.
And it's not going to slow down. What else is on your radar?
The game that I want the most besides God of War is Dreams, PS4 Dreams.
Really?
I want that game so bad.
Okay.
So bad. I think that game is a game changer, as they say, game changer. Sure. I feel like that's going to boost a whole bunch of things on Twitch. I think there's going to be a whole bunch of new kinds of streamers on Twitch. I just think Media Molecule is one of the smartest groups out there, and they don't get the love that they deserve.
100%.
Because that game is everything and everything at once, literally.
Yeah. When Andy and I saw it at PSX came back, we were very much like, this thing is on another level. And it's so much more than we thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be Little Big Planet again.
Yeah.
And that's an easy way and a crutch to describe it, but it's so much more than
that. I was there at PSX and I was watching them do music demos on it. And that was the thing that pulled me in, because I do a little bit of that on the side just to like do something for the show and all that stuff, and they brought in a full sequencer with a full track list of drums and synths and all that stuff that you can mess around with, put stuff in time, and then share that stuff out with other folks and let you help to build the world that you want to build. That's so dope.
And that's what I was coming back to when I was trying to describe it to people, is the fact that, you earn XP by creating, by playing, all this different stuff, but they're giving you XP even if I just sat there and I just want to create trees.
Yeah.
And I create trees and you go and put them in your level and your level gets popular, I get XP off of that.
Yes.
And it's like building this weird digital virtual currency, and these creators who can just get in there, like you're talking about, be a person on Twitch who's like, you know what, everybody thinks I'm a great marionette, so I'm gonna make marionettes here and put them out, and then you guys can go use them on whatever level you want to do.
And it's interesting because Twitch Creative, that whole section of Twitch, is growing really well, and it's something that other people will be able to get into because they now have a different level of artistic ability. So it's not like I can't draw or I can't paint, but this is a thing that I can do and add this small thing to the game and someone else will be able to use it. And so excited for that game. That game is gonna be nuts. I'm gonna lose so much time in that.
Do you think it actually makes this year?
I think so. I mean, the where I saw it at PSX, I was like, it feels done.
Yeah.
It feels done. It feels like they're just trying to figure out how they're going to market it and how they're going to share it.
That's
going to
be, and that will be the
and
tough
that is
thing.
Going
that
to
is gonna
be
the tough
thing.
Thing for that one.
That's
going to
be the thing.
Yep. Immediate right now, I can't wait for Far Cry 5.
Yeah.
I have been excited since we did the co-op or the party mode. You can check that out, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And then watched Wild Wild Country with Jen on Netflix this weekend. I'm like, man, I'm ready to fuck up a cult. Let me into this cult. I'm ready to fuck some shit up. So yeah, that's what I'm immediately excited for. Outside of that, I think the hits just keep coming, right? Mario Tennis Aces, Detroit, God of War, it feels so close now.
Yeah.
Spider-Man, is it close? Is it far? Insomniac won't tell you, but one day it'll be here.
I'm saying one day. I thought you got that out of them. I thought you did that.
No, I tried. That was just me, you try to goad him. You try to goad him. You know what I mean? And we just played Monster Hunter, and James would not slip up. I was hoping I would get him to slip up. He
Damn
never
James.
Did. Speaking of Spider-Man, Greg Way, Kazden Risk writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, I have the God of War PlayStation 4 Pro Special Edition console pre-ordered as I'm hoping to upgrade for my launch PS4 soon. And I love myself a special edition. However, I've never played God of War and am also worried a really cool Spider-Man Special Edition Pro console will come out. What are the odds we see a Spider-Man PS4 Pro or even a Last of Us Part 2 one? Thanks, Kazden Risk. The odds are 100% you will see both of those. I have no doubt there will be a Last of Us and Spider-Man Special Edition PlayStation 4 Pros.
Yeah, they have to. There has to. Those two games are going to be too big for
them. And the problem is you just have to, you have to decide if you want to wait for whenever those are going to be.
And you don't lose anything by waiting.
Yeah.
You don't.
You play God of War, though, and it wouldn't look as good, maybe, you know? You don't have the 4Ks and the HDRs and the teraflops
And the flippity-flops.
The flippity-flops. Yeah, that's not a big deal.
You won't have an axe on the side of your...
And that was the thing. I saw it in person.
I remember you having this conversation. And you were like, what is this? What is this design?
I think Gary was super mad, or maybe Tim was, but like somebody was like, this thing's hideous. I'm like, it's not as bad as other PS4 Pros I've seen.
That's true.
But it doesn't make me go, yeah.
Well, the thing
is, if they don't fuck up the Spider-Man, as I've said, it was Gary. I'm going to buy the Spider-Man one and just try to sell him my Pro.
Well, the problem was when I saw it at first, I was like, what is all the stuff that's on it, the glyphs and all that? And then when they explained it, then I was like, oh, but if you have to explain it, then that's a bad design.
Yeah.
I'm like, eh.
If they just do Spider-Man, just give me a blue console, the red the white.
It's going to be so good if they do that.
Don't fuck this up for me, please.
Please don't.
Everybody write into Shuhei Yoshida and say, Shu, please don't script the Spider-Man PS4 Pro. XOXO, kind of funny. Where do I want to go next?
Let's see.
Oh, here we go. We're old people. You know that.
Yes, we are.
Carson 061785 writes in and says, hey, guys, just wondering, do you find the older you get, the less and less you want to play games? I was a massive gamer and own all current gen systems, but find every game I start, I don't have the drive to finish. I apologize.
Yep.
I get excited for upcoming games, but worry it will be the same thing. Or you think everyone has highs and lows. Love what you do. Carson.
Hmm.
I think we all have highs and lows, right?
Yeah. I mean, you get to a point where, and it depends too, because we're doing this in a very different space than most people are too, mm-hmm. where we have less time to do the actual game playing and more time to have to try to figure out how to manage everything else. But I have like analysis paralysis now when I'm like, what do I want to start?
Right.
And how much time do I have to dedicate to that now? And that's the hardest part now. It's like, I don't know what I'm going to do when Far Cry comes out. I'm like, I'm going to jump into it and then I'm going to like, all right, how far can I keep going before the next thing comes out that I have to cover? So that's hard.
Yeah. And that's why I think, you know, for most games I play, I like to jump in and treat it like a review if it's a single player, right? Sure. But that what's getting complicated has been somebody keeps tweeting me, and maybe it's a couple of people, but like the death of single player Greg Miller, because all I play now is like, I loved Friday the 13th and I loved Monster Hunter. Yeah. And I'm now playing Fortnite and all these different things. And it's like, that's an interesting takeaway, but it is exactly what you're talking about of like last night. Cool. I have an hour.
Right.
I don't feel like doing a hunt right now. Right. So what is another? I jump in for 20 minutes and it's over. And that's why I loved Friday the 13th so much last year was the fact that, I know what I'm going to get.
That was Paragon for me for a bit too.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think it's for me personally, Carson, you say, do you find the older you get, the less and less you want to play games? I wouldn't say that's the case.
Right.
I think it's just that the more and more responsibilities you get, the harder and harder it gets to be to sit there and play 9 hours a night of games like I used to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like it definitely is change. It has changed, I should say, the way I play. I hone in more, and like even leaving IGN changed the way I play games because I wasn't reviewing and I didn't have an embargo and I didn't have something to nail. But it does get down to, all right, cool. Like when God of War drops, right? Like God of War is going to be like, all right, cool. I'm going to try to beat this in a weekend, maybe a week.
Yeah.
Just spend it out. Far Cry 5. Yeah. I expect to get review code this week, and it's GDC week, and I have like dinners every night with people and parties and things and appointments and games to go see and events. And it's just like, fuck, when am I going to get into this? And then it's like, you can see it slide if you look, cause we're doing Let's Play Spring Break or not. Let's Play Spring Break reunion thing. And then it's PAX. And it's just like,
that's the hardest part right now is like, how do I fit this into my actual schedule for other things too? So I'm not neglecting the people around me and also the
responsibility. And it's that weird thing. I bet of what will happen. Maybe not with Far Cry, but similar games of, all right, cool. I really want to play that, and I really want to beat it, so I'm going to put it off. And instead, in those free hours, I'm going to keep playing Fortnite. Or like how I was with, like, man, it's hard to play. I put 130 hours into Monster Hunter. It's like, well, when you know you can just jump in and get out and like not have to worry about the story. Yeah. Like right now, I've had a episode 4 of Batman Season 2 cooking. Right. And I'm like, well, now I'm so close to episode 5. might as well get them together and then just find the time when I have 4 hours to sit down and play them back to back.
Beginning of the year was me going through my 2017 pile of shame for the most part. I was like, oh, this, the, oh, here, here's the thing, Nier. Like, oh, I should be playing Nier Automata.
Yeah.
I didn't play any of that. Yeah. So let me get to that. So it's one of those things. You have to fit it in if you can.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like I want to play less. I want to play more. I just don't have the time to.
Exactly. That's the biggest time is I'd love to play more and more, but.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to keep Kevin in check over there.
Oh, snap.
Oh, snap, Kevin.
Yep.
All right, fine. Alex B gets to be the final question.
Alex.
They write in and say, Dear Greg and Khalif, I'm so glad this crossover is happening. Shout out to the other best friends in Brookcago. Because that's how you guys are all spread out. No,
it's Brookcago, Greg.
What did I say?
You said Brookcago.
Well, I know. It's because I was trying to sound it out. But that's from your show. That's from your show.
Yeah.
That's explain it to the kids.
Brookcago is the mashup of when I started, when we started the show, I was living in Brooklyn, New York, and my co-host Cicero Holmes was living in Chicago. So we said, what would a magical place be that combined the two and had a virtual currency of Cheddar Bay biscuits? It would be Brookcago.
Yeah, okay.
So
I can get down with that currency.
Word.
My question is, has the way you played games changed as you've aged? When I was a kid, I would always try to test the limits of each game. Quote, can I go here? What happens if I do X? Essentially, to try and find the seams. As an adult, I find myself much more content to simply stay between the lines and do what I think the devs intended. Even when I have plenty of time to game. Am I alone in this? How has the way you play games changed over the years? Thanks to you both for the awesome work. Alex B.
Dear Alex, let me tell you of a time when I was young.
How I used to play games.
When I used to have one controller. It was lovely.
I play games differently now because I want to finish things out. Games that are single player games, I kind of love them more now because I'm like, oh, I don't have to worry about the kind of sidetracks that I need to usually go to. So that has changed things in a different way. Also, I'm getting older physically. So physically, my hands hurt a little bit more.
Oh, really?
So I'm like, you know, I work in IT. So that plus video games equals like your hands throwing up gang signs when you don't want them to. It's like, oh, my hands don't do stuff that I want them to. I'm like, I'd love to hug you, but I can't.
I have these T-Rex arms and hands.
It's like, hey. So it's a little bit of that right now. But it hasn't really changed the actual physical ways that I play and how I'm thinking about the games I want. But it does, the me getting older has been, talking about the last thing that we just talked about, has moved the needle in a different way because of lack of time and wanting to kind of be more diverse in my actual things that I do too has helped. Because I actually have to get off the couch more to like make sure my body's all right and do a little bit of that stuff. So yeah, that has changed a lot.
For me, I think the biggest change is, and I think this is games changing with me, not even just me.
Yeah.
But I always want the sense of progression.
Yeah.
And the reason like Monster Hunter Scratch and Itch Rise was, oh, my armor's better. Look at my game clock go up, do all these different things. And I think back to, and even like playing God of War Preview, man, like, oh, I want that cool piece of gear, so I need to grind out this thing. But I think back to when, you know, I had a San Andreas save.
Yeah.
Where it'd be like, all right, cool. And every night I would load up that save and it was always me on the dirt airstrip, getting the thing, jump out. It was always Spirit in the Sky playing because it was the same thing. Get out, parachute out, fuck around and just turn it off. And then restart the next night at that place again because I just wanted to fuck around in that city.
Yeah.
Whereas now, like, I would be so anal about saving if I was playing GTA 5 or GTA Online.
Yep.
I want to be so anal that the save is protected and then it shows that I've progressed and I'm getting closer to this or I've put in this and I have this level and all the stuff that just didn't matter back then.
You have this real need to feel like you've accomplished something.
Yeah.
In the time
if I'm putting
that you
time into it, I want to feel like I'm accomplished something, not that I'm just screwing around.
Yeah.
Which is weird to say in video
isn't
games.
Isn't that
which
hard?
Are a weird
isn't that hard to like?
But
deal
even
with?
Fortnite or PUBG or Friday the 13th, there's XP levels and there's unlocks to get.
Right.
And like, oh, if I grind this out, maybe I'll get that weapon or something.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's smart. It's smart, but it is really different in that
But
way.
That's also, I think, how just games have gone and progressed. And even like, you know, it's not a hurdle, but like I look at Fortnite and I'm like, it'll be really cool when trophies get put in here for a battle royale.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like that's what I'm looking forward to more. It's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody has a good time. Mm-hmm. Today, Alan needs help on PlayStation 4. His PSN, flash_earth616. I see what you're doing there. I'm trying to set up a full squad for Overwatch to get my best friend and I back into Platinum.
All right.
Ooh. If you are a hardcore Overwatch player like Andy Cortez, hit up Alan on PlayStation 4, PSN, flash_earth616.
Sorry, you mean. Dun, 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 dun. got to get that Zarya play in there.
How much you playing? Overwatch?
Overwatch? Yeah. I fell off Overwatch hard, but I started watching Overwatch League a lot.
Yeah.
That's interesting because I'm just like, first of all, New York Excelsior. Shout out to New York Excelsior. That has been something really interesting to see how that has pushed itself out.
Sure.
In comparison to how all people are talking about esports in the same way now. They're like, esports is going to be the biggest thing on the planet. And Dota and Overwatch are the only ones that I can see really kind of pushing it forward right
now. Yeah.
But I do want to
I thought Rocket League would be making more noise than it was.
Me too.
It seemed like when they announced that, and not that, I mean, don't get me wrong, I see the tweets about it, but I mean, yeah. I just thought it would be a bigger deal than it seems to be.
Wait till Fortnite gets in that spot.
Good Lord.
Boy.
Good Lord.
That's going to be craziness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Khalif.
Yes, sir.
You've been amazing today.
Thank you very much.
Where can people follow you? Where can they get you?
You can check me out on the Twitters at KajaKins. You can also check out the show at Spawn On Me. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/SpawnOnMe. We do a show on Twitch live every Thursday, and we do two bonus shows for the Patreon folks as well. One's about politics and one's about stuff behind the scenes about what we do.
That's awesome.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for making the time for us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, this... Oh, hold on. I almost forgot about you're wrong. I'm off my game. Oh. I took two shows off, and I don't know what I'm doing. Hold on.
Oh, no.
Do you want to have the honors of going through you're wrong? I'm gonna tell them about like where to submit questions and all that jazz.
Yeah.
And then you can, you know, you go through, and you just, don't let them editorialize too much. I don't want these, you know what I mean?
I'm nervous. That's too much power.
I know. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. You can watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you watch it live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listening on podcast services around the globe. Khalif.
Yes, sir.
What did we get wrong today?
A lot of folks in the forums are telling us that we have said Mitchell's name wrong, which is true. It is Atreus.
Atreus, that is, that does. That
Atreus, which makes a lot of sense. Yeah. They also talked about PUBG being out on iOS mobile in the US as well.
Oh, is it now?
Yeah.
Oh, so I missed that. When did
I missed that too. I don't know. Some folks in the forums are well informed, and they said that to us.
Okay, thank you, forums.
Let's see.
Tomorrow, Danny O'Dwyer joins us.
Shout out to Danny O'Dwyer. I love you.
No clip.
Kratos rips off Helios's head in God of War 3, not Hercules's head.
Good call. Thank you. That's a good correction.
Thank you. That's a very good correction. And I think that's it.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's been Kinda Funny Games Daily. We'll be back tomorrow with Danny O'Dwyer. But until then, it's been our pleasure to serve you. Even Kevin's off today. Doesn't have the lights working.